Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time that we can ponder from your prophetic word, Lord, the events and how it might apply to what we're watching unfold in the Middle East right now. And we do lift up your chosen people, Lord, your promised people, even though they don't, for the most part, even know you through your son, Jesus. And yet you're keeping your promises to them, which is such an encouragement to us, God, because we know you'll keep your promises to us. That by faith in your son, Jesus, you give us everlasting life. And Lord, as these events are unfolding in the Middle East and could lead to other nations being involved, we just pray that you'd give us wisdom in just keeping the faith and trusting in you and sharing with our unsaved, lost friends and neighbors, God, that it's time for them to get serious about you. In Jesus' name, amen. So some things are going to be facts, some things are going to be Kevin's opinion. I'm going to try and make that clear through this, because opinions can be wrong, but the facts of situations don't change. And the biggest fact is what the Bible says. And so there are prophetic wars that are not fulfilled that I alluded to in our service today. And here's the premise. Here's my worldview of which is what kind of guides me in understanding this. And if I'm right, I hope it would gather you. But again, just take what I say. You can be a good Berean and check it with what you think and know from the scriptures. But I believe we're in the last of the last of the last days. I believe that there's such a convergence of prophetically required things for the last days to occur that have become, they're part of the infrastructure of the world today. For the tribulation period to occur, you have to have a world leader. That's possible today. It's never been possible to have a world leader. It's possible today. You have to have a world leader with tools at his disposal to globally control everybody in the world as a global flea state. Never possible in the history of the world. It is possible. Globally control the buying and selling of everybody in the world. It's not fully implemented yet, but the infrastructure to do it is here. It's ready, and they're about to make that happen. So all these things, and I could go on and on and on, are indicative we're in the last days. So then, okay, boom, that's a fact. That a lot of things in the Bible line up to the fact that we're in the last days. Well, if that's true, then we should expect that all the nations of the world are plotting against the Lord and his anointed to establish a global kingdom of the Antichrist. And they'll do anything. For them, the loss of hundreds of millions, even billions of lives means nothing to them. They know that they want to rule over the world, and it's a lot easier to rule over billions less than now. And in that conflagration and all that massive death that's going to happen, that everybody that survives is going to be welcoming the global leaders with open arms, whatever it takes to make this never happen again. They know that's what they have to do. They have to create a scenario where the people will let them take power. And they know that the best way for that to happen is a global nuclear conflict. They know that. They talk about it. They even want it to happen. Now, here's speculation. NATO, Russia, didn't want to be under the thumb of the globalist agenda. And that's why they said, you're not going to move into Ukraine, move your first strike nuclear weapons into Ukraine and wipe us out because you want to get rid of us. We want to stay Russian. We don't like dressing up, Russian guys don't like dressing up as girls. And we don't want your agenda. We don't want your globalist agenda in our country, and we will fight you. And we thought, NATO thought, that was going to be a cakewalk to make them subjugate, and it didn't. And so NATO has been trying everything they can to get Russia to attack a NATO country. Because if Russia attacks a NATO country, what happens? Article 5 of the NATO charter is activated, and that requires 30 NATO nations to come to the defense of the offended NATO state to eliminate the aggressor, which is Russia. And Russia has been very, very careful. They've taken a lot of hits that they should have bombed Poland. They should have bombed all these other NATO states that were sending weapons and everything. But they know they'd be walking into the trap to make that happen. And so they don't want to start nuclear war. But they have promised that they will if NATO attacks them without reason, or if they were to lose in a way with conventional arms that their state is put in jeopardy of surviving, then they will use nuclear weapons. Thursday, United States moved over a dozen B-2 stealth bombers into Europe. B-2 stealth bombers are American first strike nuclear platforms. And so Russia is basically being told by NATO, we have 12 bombers that could come and violate your airspace undetected and launch nuclear-tipped cruise missiles to take out your missile silos and everything else. What does Russia want to do if they know that that's true? That they want to be able to attack. But what better way to get a nuclear war to... And so anyway, we have our problems with the NATO-Russian thing, and what better way than to have Israel deal with its problems to way that goes nuclear? And so Biden gives $7 billion to Iran a couple, 3 weeks ago. $7 billion that can go, you give a Muslim a pile of money and say, there's the infidel, kill him, and you got yourself an army. And we learned that by the Muslim uprising, yeah, ISIS, everything else. You can give money to a Shiite Muslim and say the Sunni Muslim is an infidel and you got yourself an army to go to war. And we gave him $7 billion. And those $1 billion can go to Hezbollah, which means Party of God in Arabic, and they are in charge of Lebanon. They rule Lebanon. And they have, over the years, accumulated 150,000 missiles ready to launch on Israel. You can't have 150,000 Iron Dome missiles. And what they've been doing over the last few years is using accuracy improvements on these missiles so that they will hit. It's not just random, just launch them and wherever they land. They are designated to take out the Haifa port, the oil installations, the oil tanks, the power plants, everything else. They're strategic. They're not like in 2007 when Lebanon launched a bunch of missiles. They were all just dumb missiles and they didn't hit the strategic areas. And Israel knows that those missiles that are going to be coming in are going to be accurate. And so Israel is a small country. If they see Haifa, the port, go away, they see Ashkelon go away, the port in Ashkelon go away, they have their airfields going away, they know they're destroyed. They're completely destroyed as a country. And so what are they going to do? They're not going to let themselves be destroyed. And they can stop missiles from coming in by sending some F-35 fighters and dropping nukes on the whole area of Lebanon where the missiles are coming from. And they have promised to do that in defending the nation of Israel from annihilation. And Lebanon is saying, Hezbollah is saying, we are here to defend our Muslim brothers, Hamas, in their war against the occupiers, Israel. And we warn Israel to not go into Gaza territory. And so what that means is when Israel goes full bore, and right now Israel is doing is evacuating all of the settlements around Gaza. They're getting all the Israeli Jews that are still alive, and many of them were killed, just outright, just slaughtered. They were driving down the roads. Has anybody not seen the images and stuff of what's going on? When they came out of Gaza, they had machine guns on the back of trucks and a bunch of guys with machine guns, and they're just driving down the roads of Israel, and they're just slaughtering every car. You know, they're just taking out all the cars and all the drivers, just slaughtering them. And then they went into some of the military installation bases. They because they were sleeping, the guys were sleeping, and they came in and they just shot up all the Israeli Defense Forces that were in their beds, in their barracks. They took over some tanks. There is even one report that they took an airfield that has F-35 fighters stationed at it. It was a very coordinated attack. And what the Israeli, according to Hal Turner, he has Israeli soldier intel. And the Israeli soldiers are saying there's absolutely zero chance we didn't know this was coming. And I was talking to somebody else about this yesterday. How could an Israeli intelligence, the way they put it, they go, our intelligence knows when a Hamas leader is taking a dump. How could we not know something like that was so intricately planned? How could we not know it and have guys in the barracks sleeping and having all this stuff happening and nobody being aware? And they said it must have been allowed. Okay, now, if that's, so either there was a horror, and here's the two comebacks to that. Hamas was using Russia capable jamming equipment, communications jamming equipment, and radar jamming equipment and everything else to make it happen. Because the soldiers were saying, we can see a bird fly. How did all these, they were flying with those parasailers that have a fan behind them and a small engine with a fan behind them that they can go. They launched those. There were dozens of them that were going in behind Israeli lines, just landing in a field right next to the military base, going into the barracks, blowing everybody away. And not everybody away. They took a whole bunch of them back to Gaza. So because they want to be able to say, we've got dozens and dozens of Israeli citizens and Israeli Defense Forces personnel that we have put into our tunnels and other strategic areas, and you better, and in exchange for them, you empty out your jails of every Hamas Palestinian terrorist. And so we can talk about it. So anyway, they were doing that. How could they have come flying in without us knowing? Well, one side says, well, they were jamming us with Russian quality jamming equipment. The other idea is the Israeli Defense Forces and the leadership of Israel let it happen. And now that's a good question. And for those of you that have studied history around World War II, you know, we all say, remember, Israel is saying, this is our Pearl Harbor. This is our 9/11. Pearl Harbor, there's significant evidence that we knew the Japanese were gonna attack us in Pearl Harbor. And so then you say, why would they let them come and kill thousands of Americans, wipe out all those planes, wipe out the battleships and everything else? And what was the answer? Because we need to wake up Americans to give them the strength to fight, to give them the impetus to, I'm going to go to war and give up everything. You make it, because if you just have Americans that are going to the movies, enjoying the days and, you know, all this stuff, and you're not ready to go to war, then you're going to lose. If you get them mad, then you win. I think that's what happened. I mean, there's evidence for that. They pulled out the carriers just a day or two before the attack, because we can't lose the carriers. We can lose everything else and still win, but we can't lose the carriers and win. And so we took the hit for the purpose of mobilizing the morale of the nation to defend itself against a threat, which was not just Japan, but Germany, because Americans said, forget Europe. Let them all get killed by the Germans. The Americans did not want to be in a foreign battle. All that changed on this. Is Israel having a problem with their citizens having a gumption to want to defend the state of Israel? Absolutely. They're having a horrible time. In fact, one headline was, look at this street today in Tel Aviv. This is the first time in weeks and weeks there aren't rioters out here petitioning against the Judicial Reform Act of the Knesset, which was a self-destructing, civil war-ish kind of fight between Israelites who are saying, you can't have these guys on the Supreme Court to tell the Knesset that when we make a law about defending our people, that the court says that's an unreasonable law, and so we shoot it down. And so the Knesset said, we're going to make a law that you can't do that. And the Supreme Court wants to say, well, that's an unreasonable law. And the West, Biden administration, State Department, we're all in for the Supreme Court, which is the destruction of the nation of Israel as a Jewish state. So America's State Department has been against the formation of the Jewish state since 1948. They have hated the idea of Israel being a Jewish state since 1948. Why? Because it's not good for globalism. Israel is a pain in the neck to the globalists. They have to go to the globalists. They're in a sea of Islamic belief system, and there's always going to be that conflict. If you want to create global government and global peace, you have to eliminate the state of Israel. And that's the way they look at it. And that's why I'm giving them $7 billion while Biden says, oh, we got your back, Israel. After the State Department put out a thing. Now, we abhor violence, unless it's in the streets of America by BLM. We abhor violence, and so you guys can't retaliate. You don't retaliate. Tell Israel not to retaliate when these murderous people come in and kill women and children and take them, kidnapping them. So right now it does appear that Israel is getting ready for a major Gaza operation. While, and one of their Israeli high generals, can't remember his name, he said, Gaza will never be the same. It will forever be changed by what we're about to do. And Israel is knowing that as soon as they do that operation into Gaza, that Hezbollah has promised to unleash on Israel. And they're coming from Lebanon, and what they're doing is they're launching mortars today. They're mortar rounds and drones and stuff to take out the Israeli radar sites that are used to protect Israel from missiles coming in from Lebanon. So they're softening up the Israeli defense capabilities against the missile onslaught that is going to be launched, people think, relatively imminently, as soon as this gets going. Well, the Iron Dome has its own radar systems, but there's other radars in northern Israel that are looking for more long range, because they have Iron Dome and David's Sling and what's a third missile? Huh? There's a third missile. David's Sling and Arrow. Well, Arrows are for ones like would be coming from Iran. And Israel notified Russia that they know Iran's behind, just like we're behind Ukraine wanting to wipe out Russia. Iran's behind using proxies. Why not let 700,000 Ukrainians die? In fact, our warmongers in the Senate and the House will advertise, this is the greatest money we've ever spent. We haven't lost any Americans at all. And we're weakening the state of Russia. Can you imagine that? I mean, they're sitting there. It's okay to slaughter 700,000 Ukrainians for our benefit of controlling them. I mean, literally, they don't even blush at that statement. And Iran is using Lebanon and Gaza as their proxy, and they don't think twice about the fact that millions of those people are likely to die soon because there will be a nuclear attack. Yeah.
But in 1967,
yeah,
Israel did a preemptive attack because they saw that if they didn't,
yep,
they were going to lose.
Yeah.
Are we in that same situation?
There are some people saying that their sources in Israel is that Not only are they getting all their Israeli citizens out of southern, which, by the way, if they take over those settlements and they're going to go into Gaza, and that means the settlements are technically safe, unless, of course, fallout's going to be coming. And so you want to get everybody away from Gaza. Get them all away from Gaza. And then move in. And there's people that are saying, as soon as Israel knows they're going to go in, knowing what Hezbollah is going to do, that they'll preempt them. That before they actually let Hezbollah launch their salvos, they will carpet bomb Lebanon, where they know the silo, where the missile launching locations are. They'll carpet bomb them with nukes and completely destroy the state of Lebanon. And, you know, people have been saying, Kevin, what do you think about Ukraine and Russia and what's going to happen? I mean, I've been thinking, man, this could go nuke at any time. I mean, because of all the rhetoric there. And I said, but even if it does, what gets things going is going to be blamed on Israel. Because of this verse. And this is Isaiah 17. And I want to emphasize again, I'm not going to get into the whole study. It took an hour to do Isaiah 17, an hour to do Psalm 83. It's on our YouTube channel. You can listen to it, and I know you don't want to go that long. But I am going to read you this. It says, in that day, when Damascus ceases to be a city, you know, in the day that Damascus ceases to be a city, becomes a ruinous heap, where animals go in, but people don't bother them. Now, why do animals can go into a city, but people won't want to bother them? Nuclear fallout. I mean, to me, how miraculous God's word is, because God knows he can speak 2,700 years ago in a way that we can only understand today. There's never been a city that's destroyed where animals go in and people don't go hunt them or eat them or whatever else. In that day, man will look to his maker and his eyes will have respect for the Holy One of Israel because of the miracles of what God is going to do for Israel. He will not look at the altars and the work of his hands. He will not respect what his fingers have made, nor the wooden images, nor the incense altars. Remember how everybody had such a religious experience on 9/11? All of a sudden, the football game didn't mean as much. The baseball game didn't mean as much. Like, wow, you know, look, you know, we might get attacked. We might lose more cities. We might lose, you know, more buildings and all this other stuff. It's going to be in spades when this goes to a global conflict. In that day, his, man's, strong cities will be as a forsaken boat. People will be evacuating major cities. And I think it doesn't say how many cities. It says plural. I think it's around the world. We'll leave their strong cities, will be as a forsaken bow and an uppermost branch, which they left because of the children of Israel. There will be desolation. So Isaiah says that in the destruction of Damascus and then other cities that people will be leaving because there's such destruction, it's going to be because of Israel. And let's say this war does go nuclear soon. People are going to be upset that it let the nuclear genie out of the bottle. And then you got North Korea doing Japan and South Korea. And you've got Russia doing NATO, NATO doing Russia, China doing Taiwan, Taiwan in NATO, and America doing China. And all of it just gets going. And people will be leaving their strong cities. Because even if the power grid goes down, you can't live in a big city with a power grid down. It's going to be, I mean, it's the stuff movies are made out of. So, and I've been saying, you know, the Bible says it's all, the real biggie war is going to be blamed, is going to be because of Israel. So, you know, if Russia and NATO get it going, fine, but it's going to be, the world's going to be blaming Israel, according to the prophetic word of God. And now we're seeing they're openly talking about it. Okay, the question was something I was thinking, oh, I should have said one more thing before I took a question. It was exactly what you're asking. And I've already talked to the security guys out here earlier today. And this is the part where I was encouraging just the guys to be here. The question is, well, what about all the, how does it affect us with all the infiltration of our border and everything here? Okay, again, worldview. We're in the last days. Worldview, globalists want to take over. Worldview, globalism requires the death of every nation state. Worldview is Russia's a major nation state that says nyet. And we're a major nation state that is too wrapped in sin to care that we have millions of fifth column people coming across our southern border. And so what if all those people aren't, and here's a fact, World Economic Forum has stations set up in Central America down by Panama, processing people that are on their way here, here's some money, here's the route to take, here's where you're going, here's how we're going to take care of you when you get into America, this is where you go. That's World Economic Forum globalists. Why? They have to destroy this once great nation of America. They have to destroy Make America Great Again, because it can't be Make America Great Again. It's got to be the world is unified as one. All nation states have to go away. And so in the same way Hamas must, they didn't plan this thing on a back of a napkin last week. This is a well-planned out, masterfully planned out attack. And this slipped through Israeli intelligence, which is impossible to me, impossible to me. And so here we have, we're being told, oh, don't worry, they're just here, they're just getting away from what's going on in Central America, and they get free hotels, and they get this, and they kick out local residents and all this stuff, and we're just so lame-o that we can't even really figure out how to stop it, and our politicians, our globalist politicians, are all involved. And what if some of these people are being sent to strategic locations with armament necessary to take out power plants, water plants, armed with guns on the back of trucks that can go down roads and just start mowing people down, to go into churches and mow everybody down, to create chaos? They want, the globalists want chaos over the whole world and death and destruction and terrorism until the people say, stop it, and I don't... Take away whatever constitution, get rid of the constitution, just make it stop. And I think that's, I think we're just waiting for the order to be given to these people that are staged. Multiple accounts of people, ex-military people saying, look, I'm here to tell you Americans that'll listen to me, these are fighting age, foreigners, some from China. And when I see them going north, they're not like, oh yeah, I can't wait to get to America and get a job. It's like they're men with a mission. These guys are battle-trained mission people. That's their demeanor. They're military. And they're coming to America. And so, and the CIA, Rockefeller Foundation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, had a globalist think tank periodical news source, futures, you know, trends analysis group called the Daigle Report. How many of you have heard of the Daigle Report? And about, I think it was 7 years ago, I became aware of it, and it projects gross domestic product, military investments, population of all the countries of the world. They list all the countries, and what we're projecting based on our intel that's from all over the world, what's going to be the population gross domestic product of all these nations. America, by 2025, 99 million people. And then when I first looked at that, I go, what do they know? What do they know about the globalist plan that we don't know? We have about 350, 360, whatever it is, million people. Oh, border? 400,000. Yeah, we have, do you realize how many people that is? By 2025, their plan is that our population will go down to what it was in 1918. And how do they plan to do it? Well, some people, and this was before COVID. This came out before COVID. By the way, they took that down because people like us found it, started making it public. They took it down. And, but people have also, you can go to websites and get the archive of it. And I actually made a handout of it years ago, gave it to the church, and said, look at what they're saying. So I have my own archive of it. And, but some people said, oh, it's COVID, it's the jab. You know, and by the way, people are continuing, the jab's not over killing people. As a doctor here will attest, he is now opening up people that they go from healthy to needing to go to a doctor. You open them up and they have four or five organs that are all have cancer. John Brunson, he went in to, he had a stroke, and I know he took the jab and all the boosters, and he had a stroke, and they went in and he had both kidneys, pancreas and lung cancer. Oh, and I forgot to mention, we said pray for him, but he passed away on Friday. So, just wrap it. They call it turbo cancer. And they call it VAIDS. Vaccine Acquired Immune Deficiency Syndrome. These people are mass murderers. And they deceive, and they're in cahoots with the media, the media, the Congress, the executive branch, the intelligence agencies, they're all in cahoots to pull this COVID lie on us. And they got away with it, except when they die, and God will deal with that. And it's really shocking to me. But so they want to kill. In this war, they're going to accomplish killing a whole lot of people in this war. And they want to kill people in America. And so what I told our security guys is we just need to be on our toes and just... And here's the other thing from a family standpoint is that, you know, knowing Israel was surrounded by neighbors, which they knew, why is it that any Israeli family did not have an AR in their house? I mean, especially if you live near the Gaza Strip. I mean, instead of them huddling into their safe rooms, they should have been able to defend themselves because now they're all dead or they're all taken captive and being raped and otherwise abused in some tunnel in Gaza waiting for the Jews to kill their own people. So just, and even the fact that Israeli defense soldiers were taken prisoner just astounds me because it should have been, we might as well die fighting. Because there's no chance in the world they're going to let us live. And they're going to only hinder our nation in being able to do what they need to do. So we have to, as men, this is a talk to the men, we have to be ready for if the day comes where they activate while we're around these marauding bands, we should be ready to help defend our families. And yeah, that's... Some people would say that's crazy, and that's okay. Just take it as a signal. Huh? Yeah, we are here as men to defend ourselves. You know one thing, and I'm going to talk about this on Thursday with the men's, we're going to study the life of Jehoshaphat. And when he took power after Bad King, what did he do? He strengthened everything. He realized the enemy is always trying to kill us. And we should be strengthening our cities and strengthening our nation. All the good kings, they strengthened the defenses. All the wicked kings, wanted to go party and kill children and all this other stuff and let the nation's defense rot, to the point where they were taken over. And so we should, I'm going to do what I feel led to do. Do what you feel led to do on that. Yeah, Jeannie.
Amir, just at 12:18, he put on your Lebanese report that Hezbollah's Radwan Brigade has been deployed near the border with Israel in the Matula area with thousands of soldiers. That's northern Israel.
Yeah. Yeah, so Hezbollah, they dug a bunch of tunnels years ago. They dug a bunch of tunnels to go underneath, and the Jews found out about it. Let them dig it. Might as well let them dig it. And then they filled them up with concrete and let Hezbollah know that that was happening. And so they did the same thing with Hamas. They put a fence that went down into the ground to prevent tunnels from happening from Gaza into Israel. So what did they do? What did the Hamas people do? Oh, can't go under? We'll go over with paragliders. And weren't ready for it. Because that was the plan, is to get them to go all underground. So either Hezbollah has some more tunnels that Israel doesn't know about, or they're just going to send their thousands of troops across after they soften the place up with a missile barrage. And this is, so they're amassing the troops for an invasion of Israel. And you know, going back to Russia, you know, we sent our B-2 bombers, and what the Russians did the day before is they tested a nuclear-powered cruise missile, which, having been a nuke, you know, in the Navy, and knowing, you know, it's like, well, people rightfully call it a flying Chernobyl. Because if you have a reactor that's creating the heat necessary for the propulsion of a cruise missile, that reactor is making fission products, just like Chernobyl was making fission products when it blew itself all over Chernobyl. And so, in other words, whether it crashes or blows up or whatever, as soon as it's gone critical, making fission products, that sucker is now polluting the environment. Wherever it comes down, it's going to come down somewhere. But Russia's that desperate. They're saying, we've got this weapon that we can just launch and let it sit out there for weeks, looking to navigate around your missile defense systems and waiting for us to tell it to go and hit a city, hit a base, destroy a, you know, city or cities. And, you know, and they have a torpedo that's the same way. It's a nuclear powered torpedo that has a 1 megaton warhead on it. And remember when that volcano went off in the Pacific? I don't think it was a volcano. In fact, one of the Russian Duma, you know, their legislature, told the world, said, you know what we should do? Is what we should do is just demonstrate to America how willing we are to use a nuclear weapon. You know, like maybe in one of America's nuclear weapons testing ranges. And so then, within a couple of days of that, all of a sudden this volcano blew off. And at the same time, this volcano, and if you look at a satellite picture of that thing going off, I go, whoa, that ain't no volcano. United States, a friend of mine and I, we'll monitor the sniff. There's radiation sniffing places around the world, and you can go to websites, and they're all down for maintenance. So, yeah, that was, and that sent tidal waves all around the Pacific. And that was, I think they were saying, we're serious. We have a nuclear-powered torpedo that can just go and just be told, you know, come up every once in a while, nope, we don't want to nuke anything yet. And it's made to go to the, like, off of the East Coast, and the tidal wave from that 1 megaton blast of a submerged submarine would take out several cities along the coast with the tidal wave, tsunami. The Bible says 1/4 of the world's population dies when peace is taken from the world. Which people say, well, Kevin, aren't we supposed to be rational before this goes nuke? And no, we don't know. What I say is, if we're here for a war that goes to 1/4 of the world's population dying, and I happen to be part of the 3/4 that's still alive, then I'm wrong about the rapture. And if you're there, you can say, well, Kevin was wrong, and I'm dead. Kevin admitted he was wrong about the rapture. But it doesn't matter, because we're just going to serve Jesus till he comes to get us one way or another. I'm heaven bound. John.
It's strange. I'm old enough to remember when the Second World War had the Nazis pictured, and I remember one that had the picture of the Nazi soldier with his helmet and all that, and the caption was, if they win, only our dead are free.
Yep. Yeah. And our worldview is that a whole lot of people are going to die, and nobody's going to be free except the globalists. everybody is going to be under the thumb of the globalists or dead. The ones that say, I will not bow to your Antichrist image. I will not take his mark. You have to. You're a slave. Nope. You die. Only the dead are going to be free in the global government of the Antichrist, which is being, you know, they're doing this to make it happen.
They'll be free like John Brunson is right now.
Yeah. 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 He's with Jesus now. Yes, Dick. What he asked is it okay to run up my credit cards? Is it time to run out the credit cards?
Is it time to max out?
Okay, full disclosure here. Dick's been asking me that question for 20 years. And I tell him the same thing. Dick, you can't do it, you know? We're getting close, so I'll let you know. Okay, so here's my timeline. Again, I don't know that this is perfectly accurate. It makes total sense for every scripture that I know that about the timeline. And it's different than Amir, because Amir thinks Ezekiel 38-39 is imminent. And I deal with that in the video of the timing of the Gog-Magog War, which is online at our website, calvarypo.org, YouTube channel, most popular, the top three ones are Isaiah 17, Psalm 83, timing of the Gog-Magog War. So let's say that this war starts with nukes going off in the Middle East sometime in the weeks, months ahead. But it doesn't go, and we're still here. Then to me, it's because we're not to the peace being taken from the world, Revelation 6, that leads to a fourth of the world's population dying. The world has already seen a nuclear use, right? We saw Hiroshima and Nagasaki going up, and the rapture didn't happen. So it's not that we're going to be gone before nukes go off. It's we're gone. See, Revelation 6 is Jesus taking the scroll of the title deed of earth, and he starts popping the seals of the scroll. The first seal will skip. Second seal, peace being taken from the world. Pop. That's the wrath of Jesus on the earth. Pop. Famine. Pop. Death. One-fourth of the world's population dead. My view, that's the wrath of Jesus, and we don't get the wrath of God according to Thessalonians. So we're gone for that. That's why I'm saying I'm wrong about that. If a fourth of the people have died, I'm still alive. And people say, Kevin, what happened to the rapture? I was wrong. It just doesn't make sense to me how it would be wrong, but obviously you won't be able to argue with the facts at that point. So, but we saw World War I. We saw World War II. We saw Vietnam. Ukrainian Christians are seeing Russia, Ukraine. 700,000 dead. By some people that are saying, you know, just by lack of phone use. I mean, those people are not making phone calls anymore. Phone companies are saying how many people are dead. So they're seeing all that, and we're not raptured. We could be seeing this war and not get raptured because it's only leading to the ultimate war. And when the ultimate war goes and everything kicks off and everybody starts flinging nukes, then I think we're going to be gone, because everybody flinging nukes is going to lead to a fourth of the world's population dying. So then we're gone. The world has had this global conflict. Billions of people are dead. And what are the globalists going to do? They're going to crawl out of their bunkers and they're going to say, hey, we can't do this again. We can't let there be nations. We have laser weapons now, bioweapons, chemical weapons, nuclear weapons. We have such ability to kill people that if we don't put a stop to this, we will exterminate life on the planet. And so what you need to do is give us complete control. Get rid of all your constitutions. Get rid of your national borders. We're going to give you a central bank digital currency. We're going to eliminate all nuclear weapons, all weapons. Of what, tanks, planes, everything else. They're not going to be needed. Those trillions of dollars of the military industrial complex are going to be all funneled back to you, survivors. Because we're not going to be doing that anymore. You just have to swear allegiance to us controlling. And the Jews will be happy about that. Because the Jews, They've survived Psalm 83, the immediate neighbors being wiped out by their Israeli defense forces, according to Psalm 83. They're going to realize Damascus is no more. And the other neighbors that are immediately around them are not around anymore because of Israeli defense forces as prophesied by Isaiah 17. And they're going to say, and the global government's forming, and they're saying they're going to disarm everybody. And they're not going to allow war anymore because that's the promise to the world, to bring peace, peace. When they say peace, peace, and destruction come, they're going to give us peace. And then that sets the stage for Ezekiel 38, 39. Because Ezekiel 38, 39, and if you're not familiar, you go watch the video. For those that are familiar, it says in Ezekiel 38, 39, something a mirror never talks about, that they are living in with the unwalled villages in peace and safety. And they'll say that. The Israelis are going to go, finally, we survived because we took a major licking. The glory of Jacob waned. We lost our military bases in northern Israel. We were severely injured in this war, but we're still a nation. And they're going to say, okay, global government, it's okay. And in fact, Isaiah says they make a covenant with death. They make a covenant with death to just pledge allegiance to the security provided by the global government instead of the security provided by God. And then Russia comes down. And something, you know, Russia and Turkey and Iran and Libya and Ethiopia, Sudan, something puts a hook in the jaw to turn them back to the nation. So they've left, they've lost. You know, I've said since the beginning of the Ukraine war, if you're for the Ukrainians, you're for the globalists. If you're for Russia, you're for the loser. Because Russia can't win. If we're in the last days, global government wins. And so Russia has to lose somehow, even though they're winning right now. They have to lose ultimately. And it might be by B-2 bombers just wiping out their first, and then us having, in fact, it's another rabbit trail. People are saying, you know, you're saying that we can, we can win a war against Russia, and then we can't do that because we don't have missile defense systems that can really take out missiles at the boost stage or the intermediate stage or the end. And they've got thousands of warheads. And they said, look, some of our Pentagon knowledge is classified. That's outdated knowledge. Meaning, we have things now that can keep us from being annihilated. And so what if Russia's thinking, oh, you can't defend against this, you can't defend against that. And what if we have a bunch of satellites up there that can just zap them all? And, you know, possibly. They're saying there's classified stuff that makes those reports obsolete of our capabilities. So then the globalists win, and Russia's ticked that they're under the thumb of the globalists, but something happens. And they turn around and they decide to come back into the Middle East and try and grab that political landscape, that geopolitical strategic landscape. And now they get wiped out by God himself. And now Israel is going, okay, Damascus, Egypt, Lebanon, Iran, Russia, everybody is dead. They've all been defeated. And the global government now consolidates its power, goes, okay, those are the last problem children, Russia and all those guys. They're dealt with. Thank you, God, Israel. And in exchange for that, we're going to let the Jews build a temple, and we're going to set up global government because Israel made a covenant with death to let us rule over them, so we're going to let them build their temple, and the Jews are going to go, our Messiah has just arrived. He has given us defensible borders. We now have peace guaranteed into the future. Everybody's disarmed. All of our enemies are dead. And we're going to have utopia here on earth. And the Jews are going to go back to sacrificing. And they get to do temple worship. And then this Messiah, global leader, is going to go into the temple and go, change of plans. I'm God. Worship me or die. And then the last 3.5 years of tribulation starts. Ken, does that answer your question? Kind of long-winded, huh? Barry?
I don't have a question. I have a statement.
Yeah.
My father was a chaplain in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
He started four of the churches in the Arizona area. He was a Bible scholar like you, Kevin. And he said, my generation would not pass away before the Lord came to take us home. And I said, oh, Dad, I'm 91 years old. It can't be wrong.
Can we all really pray that her dad was a true prophet of God? And not only that, but the miracle that you were given how long to live?
I was given 10 years to live when we moved out here. That's 20 some years ago.
Okay. So that's a long suffering of God. Just make sure that she sticks around. So it's kind of like Methuselah, whose name meant when he's gone, the end comes. And he died, he's the oldest man that ever lived, and he died the year the flood occurred. And Joel, and then Dave.
What if that kind of another scenario, like Hillary Clinton and others who are saying these megas need reprogramming,
mm-hmm.
and that they have to get over these antiquated ideas of free speech and stuff like that?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we are, the question or the statement was that Hillary Clinton last week was talking about how anybody that is a Make America Great Again person is got a psychosis, which you do in view of a globalist New World Order mindset. These people, you know, and they really look at, we got to kill a billion of these stupid people. Billions of these stupid people, because they just don't understand we're all going to self-annihilate anyway, and we would. I mean, if we do the nation-state thing, and this is what Yuval Noah Harari is always preaching at the Hebrew University in Israel. If we keep all this tribal stuff going with more and more advanced killing weapons, we're all going to self-destruct. So they said, they go, man, why can't they just understand we've got to globalize so that we can put an end to this unstoppable, since the history of man, this unstoppable, my nation beats your nation, my God beats your God, all this other stuff that keeps on causing people to have war and conflict and death. So they look at us like, you've got to go with our plan, but because you're too ignorant to see the virtue of it, we got to kill you.
As long as you follow their plan.
Their plan. Their godless, demonic plan. John.
I still say that when you go back to Genesis, you read that so-and-so lived 960 years, and what is the phrase that follows that?
Had sons and daughters.
And he died.
No, he died. And he died. Satan in the garden deceived man into saying, don't listen to God, don't let God be God. Eat this fruit, you get to be God. You'll be like God, you decide what's good and evil. That has been what the curse of everything that's happened. And the final curse is man saying, we don't need a God to control the world. We'll do it. We'll control the world. We'll bring, you certainly haven't brought global peace, Prince of Peace. You haven't brought it. It's not Jesus' fault that he didn't bring it, because he is going to bring it. It's our fault. But they say, you didn't bring it, so we're going to do it. We're going to bring global peace after we kill a bunch of people. Any other questions? Let's wrap it up. Yeah, Dave?
Oh,
yeah.
Oil in our lamp.
Huh?
We need to keep oil in our lamp.
Yeah.
We need to be prepared, and I love that God is kind enough to give us information that allows us to be prepared, not scared.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put our hope where it's meant to be.
Yeah. A great line. Be prepared, not scared.
Amen.
And prepared, a lot of being prepared is just by knowing I'm going to have to live by faith. We could have told the Egyptians getting out, where are we headed to the desert? How much food should we bring? Oh, don't worry about food. What do you mean? How many years are we going to go? Well, because you're unbelief, it's going to be 40. Well, I need to go to Costco. You know, I got to get some stuff stored up to be prepared. No, you don't have to be prepared, because God is going to provide. So we can't really prepare for what's coming, because it is just too big. It would be lots of AKs, claymore mines, you know, bomb shelters. It would take a lot to be prepared. But we can do what we can do to protect our families and to provide for them and then trust Jesus. Because the worst that happens, we die and go to heaven. Okay? Think that's it? All right. Well, God bless you. And you know, in being prepared, be prepared to share the gospel. Because the people that haven't got a clue about this stuff, which is everybody that doesn't know Jesus, doesn't know the Bible, listening to mainstream media, they're headed to a horrible, horrible world and death and eternity. And we're left here to warn them. Father, we thank you for this time. I pray that you would just help us to walk by faith in these coming days. We do pray again for your nation of Israel and your people, that God, you would, your prophetic word says that they're going to be severely damaged, but they'll survive. And God, we know that many Jews are coming to Jesus. And we know that ultimately all those who survive at the end of the tribulation will look on him whom they have pierced and weep and wail that they had rejected you. And they'll come to saving faith and all Israel will be saved. And Lord, as the world is plotting to this plotting headlong into this cataclysmic time of history, we just thank you that you can give us a peace through it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.